Well, thank Robert for leading us in songs and all those brethren who have served today with me and with all of us in the services, and to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored guest and distinguished guest of our audience, and to our visiting brothers and sisters from across the nation. We are so thankful you've chosen to join us via a conference call or worship, and we appreciate you so very much for being with us. To those who are not members of the church, we believe in the churches of Christ, that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We do believe that Jesus hung on Calvary and with nails in his hands and his feet. But no, we don't believe that because we ever saw it with our own eyes. We believe it because of this book we call the Bible. And our faith is developed from reading this book, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It was on that cross where he shedded the blood that we believe according to the Bible will wash your sins away in Revelation 1 and in verses number 5. That same blood purchased his church in Acts 20 and in verse 28. And that church became the bride of Christ. In Romans 16, 16, Paul was in Rome. He wrote a letter to the Roman Christians. He said in Romans 16, 16, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ. And to Ephesians chapter 4, says there is but one body. Ephesians 1, 22, tell us the body is the church. Colossians 1, 18, the body is the church. Colossians 1, 22, 24, the body is the church. So therefore, there is one church in the Bible. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible says the saved were added to the church. So the saved are in the one church. What is that church? The church of Christ. That's what we believe. And we believe the Bible has the final answer. Yeah, we speak the truth in love, so we welcome you to our call. We pray you open your Bible now to Acts chapter 2. We're studying the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and we'll see from this book, we've already done chapter 1, and we now will go into chapter number 2. This writer of this book, of course, is Luke, the physician and companion of the Apostle Paul, as we talked more about last week and the week before. In Acts chapter 2, the sermon title, the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you got to buckle up here because I'm going to be really hitting on the Pentecostals because as far as doctrine, Pentecostal faith, the Church of God in Christ, those who under the Pentecostal umbrella teach this false doctrine, they use Acts chapter 2 as the means, and we're going to prove from Acts through the entire book of Acts that what they're claiming to be doing today is not, of course, is not true. We know there are no apostles, I proved last week, there are no apostles living today, and they're doing none of the things that we'll see the apostles did miraculously in the book of Acts. Only thing can be done is the obedience to the gospel, and that can be done by everyone listening. You can obey the gospel, but not everyone is going to get the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last week. So this week, and the Bible says in Acts 2 in the verse number 1, Luke says, now, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, so finally, the day of Pentecost has fully come. Now, Jesus had told his apostles to go and wait in Jerusalem to receive power on high. When he was with them before his ascension, he told them to be in Jerusalem. Now that day that they've been waiting on has fully come. The waiting days are over. Pentecost. Pentecost, one of the three great annual festivals of Jews, lasted only one day. Was on the 50th day from the day after the Passover Sabbath, called Leviticus 23:15-22. Now Jesus was crucified on Friday. That was in the tomb on the Passover Sabbath. And he rose on what we call the Sunday. The Bible refers to it as the first day of the week. Now, the day from when that count began was when Jesus resurrected. The Sunday following his resurrection would be the eighth day. And the 50th day would fall on Sunday, the first day of the eighth week. Now, that's when the Church of Christ in the first century started to observe the New Testament pattern of worship. That's why we are on the call this morning on what we call Sunday. Now, The world refers to Easter as the resurrection. No. Every Sunday, every first day of the week, the Christians and the Bible came together. And when we find that they came together in the New Testament, if you follow that pattern of worship, they would sing, they would pray, they would take a collection, they would preach from the Word of God, and they would take communion on the first day of the week. So if you visit with the Churches of Christ, you'll see us do those five acts of worship. And communion is not taken by Christians in the Bible on the first Sunday like it was when I was growing up in the Baptist church. It was a first Sunday thing, but that's not in the Bible. They did it every Sunday. Every Sunday is a memorial that we ought to be reminded that God gave his only child. And Jesus, who died on the cross, said, "This you do in remembrance of me." In Acts 20 and verse number 7, the disciples broke bread on the first day of the week. There's the example of what day they took it, just like they did collection, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. So they took collection on the first day of the week, and they took the Lord's Supper. Now, back to Acts 2, 1. Now, on this day of Pentecost, the Bible says they, the T-H-E-Y, were all with one accord in one place. They, meaning the apostles, we're all with one place, in one accord, one place. So who are today? Now let's go back so I can prove that today here we're talking about the apostles. So the apostles were promised this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 24 and chapter 1 and go back to kind of bring you up to so we understand the day here. The antecedent of any pronoun is found by referring back to the nearest noun or pronoun with which it agrees in number or person. Again, let me give you that little English lesson there. The antecedent of any pronoun is found by referring back to the nearest noun or pronoun with which it agrees in number or person. So let's go back to Acts 1, 24 and come up to Acts 2 and verse 1 and find out who the day was. The T-H-E-Y. Now, in verse 24 it says, "And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And here it is now. "And they gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Who are today? The 11 apostles plus one, Matthias, equal 12. So the day there is referred to the apostles. And chapter 2, now, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost will fully come," day, there it is right there, still talking about those we just discussed, of the apostles with all with one accord and in one place. Now, in Acts 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they," there they are again, T-H-E-Y, "were sitting." Here comes a sound that filled all the house where the apostles were sitting. Everyone in the house could hear. Here comes what Jesus told them to wait on. Here comes the promise. Here comes the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues," still talking about the apostles, "like as of fire, and it set up on each of them." The apostles received cloven, from the Greek meaning separated, separate tongues or languages, like as, not a fire, but like as a fire. They would be able to speak all languages of the world at this time. They're given something that would be considered a miracle. Now, he said, there appeared unto them cloven, distributed or separated tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them, talking about the apostles. And I'm going to speak more about tongues, but let's look at what is happening to these men right now. And they, being the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So there comes the baptism. So a baptism is a covering. So they were covered up. They were all filled, covered up with the Holy Spirit, and began, no word, once the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were covered up. But this is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, nobody gets this baptism. You had to be in that room that day. So there's the one era when the Pentecostals teach this. They were not in that room that day. And they were not promised this. You're not promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You and I are baptized in water. These men were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then once the Holy Spirit took over, now notice what happens. And began with other tongue to speak with other tongue. Now look who's doing the controlling here. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're not just speaking on their own now. This is what we got to understand. This is where my title is at. So when you understand Holy Spirit baptism and you understand tongue speaking, the Holy Spirit is controlling the person who's doing the speaking. Now, here's the thing. The apostles were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now the apostles have been buried, covered up, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now the apostles have a power that they didn't have. Remember, Jesus told them to go wait into Jerusalem for this power from on high. So now, when you look at this, the apostles now, everything that Jesus told them was going to happen is now happening to the apostles in Jerusalem like Jesus told them to do. He told them to go and wait in Jerusalem. You remember that? And when they got in Jerusalem now, he told them something's going to be happening to them. They were being endured with power from on high. So now, this is all happening. This is all happening. But notice what's going on. The power from on high became the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit will be working directly with the apostles. In John 16:13, Jesus told them before he died, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he would guide you into all truth. So, and also 2 Peter 1:20-21, where the Apostle Peter said, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but watch this now, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. By the Holy Spirit now. If you think in terms of the Bible being written, what Luke is writing right now, what the apostles would be penning in the New Testament, these holy men that would write the Bible as we got it, you can think in terms of the Holy Spirit had guided their hands. They didn't write their own thoughts. Just like right here on the Pentecost, the Spirit is giving Peter and them utterance. The Spirit is giving them what to speak. The Spirit would guide the apostles in writing the Scripture. And the apostles have received what Christ told them they would need in order to complete the writing of the New Testament. Now, this becomes the doctrine of Christ. Notice this, or the apostles' doctrine. Now, so when you read your New Testament, that is the teachings of Christ. And the apostles that were with Christ, Christ gave the Holy Spirit. When Christ left, the Holy Spirit came down to help them complete the writing of what you and I read today called the Bible. The word Bible is not in there. The word Bible means library of books. So this library of books is known as scriptures. The scriptures that we read did not come from man. The Holy Spirit would guide these apostles, and these apostles could not preach the first gospel sermon until they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, until they received the promise, because they would need guidance on what to say. Now, here's the thing. You and I can read what they said. At the time, it wasn't written. So it wasn't written. So when you read, that's when you can understand today. The Holy Spirit ain't going to come to you at nighttime like some people claim. You know, the Lord, and some preacher even say, the Lord gave me this, the Lord told me. You got to read to get what the Lord wants you to know. Paul said that Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses number 1, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word, how that by revelation, here it is, he made known unto me a mystery, as I wrote a few and four in a few words. So anything not revealed in the scripture was a mystery to them, even the apostles. He said it was a revelation revealed to him. And then what he did, what the Holy Spirit revealed to him, Paul said, I wrote it in words. Now, in verse 4, he said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So for us, it's not going to come by putting the Bible under your pillow. You're going to have to read, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's nothing miraculous going on. People, it just sickens me in my stomach to hear some of these preachers get up act like God gave them some divine message to give you. The only thing I got to give you is what you read. You can get as much as I got. And that is, you can read just like I can. And when you read it, you're getting it from God. You're getting it from God. Don't let these preachers bamboozle you to think they got something you ain't got. I'm no different from the janitor at the church. I just got a different role. Yeah, he may clean up the building, but I clean up false doctrine if you want to look at me. I'm a janitor too. Yeah, I'll be cutting heads. Yeah, we don't take that back, though. No, that's not a boast. It's just the thing about this is we got a role. Mine is to fight the devil. Mine is to bring the word of God as a sword of the Spirit. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even by the son of the soul, the spirit of joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I use the word of God as a sword to cut out sin, cut out wrong. We ain't going to hurt nobody. We got to cut the sin out, though. Got to use it to cut out sin, cut out the false doctrine these people are teaching today. So many people are dying. We better start preaching the truth. And people who wanna obey it better start believing the truth. That's just all it is to a church of Christ. Don't feel bad when I preach the truth. You should be thankful that you have a preacher who's going to stand and preach the truth. We speak the truth in love. There's no hatred in our heart. The devil ain't a nice guy. He's not on our side. We gotta fight him. Now the apostles have received what they're gonna need to complete write this New Testament. Now reminder, contrary to what is taught by Pentecostals, no one is baptized with the Holy Ghost today. Somebody asked, well, what about laying on of hands? I'm gonna talk about that. We're gonna show you where the apostle had to lay on hands, and once the apostle laid on hands of somebody, they were able to perform miracles as well. That's true. I'm going to show you that. However, once the apostles died, nobody else could do it. So once all the apostles died and the person who they laid their hand on died, it's over. It was over. They couldn't pass it on to nobody else. Only apostles could pass it on. Now, today, you all, we are baptized in water for the remission of our sins, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of eternal life. So like the people Peter preached to in this chapter, we'll see next week. Peter preached the gospel to them. And when he preached to them, they had to obey. And we're going to see that when Peter preached the first gospel sermon. The Spirit gave him my emphasis today in this lesson is this. That was a one-time event in Acts 2. It's not going to happen again. You're never going to have the apostles in the same room. They're never going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ain't nobody today going to be in that same scenario. Why? Jesus never told us to do that. He told them to go wait in Jerusalem, and he told them to wait. Today would be endued with power from on high, and that's what Luke told us. And that's what we need to understand. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we must understand. We must understand that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. Now, they didn't understand it. In Luke 24:45, then the Bible said, then open he their understanding that they may understand the scripture. And he said unto them, does it written, and does it behoove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day? And that repentance and remission of sin, watch this now, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this preaching was started in Jerusalem. So we're at that point now where Peter can finally preach repentance and remission of sins, because everything Jesus told them where to be was in Jerusalem. Where was this preaching going to start at? In Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things, And he said, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father up on you, and you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. That was Luke 24:44-49. And now we see it playing out in Acts 2. That's it. That's it right there. You don't have to go to school to get there. You just got to believe the Bible when you read it. And well, that's what amazes me about some people. You don't have to have no PhD or go to no seminary or cemetery. You call them a seminary. Sometimes them seminaries are nothing. They call them people to die in the seniors. You just got to believe what you read in the Bible. If you believe what you read, you believe the apostles were told to go to Jerusalem. And now the beginning in Jerusalem is what he told was going to happen. That's it. That's all there is to it. Now, let's go ahead to Acts 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, notice what it said. He said, out of every nation. Y'all remember Matthew 28:18? Jesus commanded his apostles to go teach all nations. They have not preached yet. But he told them, go teach all nations. So right here records, the Bible records, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, these were devout men, Jewish people, out of every nation under heaven. Not a nation was missing. Now, when this was noised abroad, when people heard about it, verse 6, the multitude, the people came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. Notice that. Please pay attention to what they were listening to. They were listening to a language. You see that? In Acts 2:6. Look at that real careful right there. So we call the tongue speakers. You can't understand nothing. They say you got to have an interpreter. These people had information shared with them in a language. When it was noised abroad, he says, when the sound was heard, the multitude, the people, came together. They were confounded. They were surprised. They were surprised because something was happening that was very unusual. There's something going on that they had never witnessed before. What is it? They could hear these apostles speaking in their own language. It's like going to the UN, United Nations. Brother Brooks walks in there. You know, I only speak English, and I don't do that very well. That's why these guys who try to go by and quote Greek and all that, I'm not impressed with them. Most of us don't even know English very well. I tell our ministerial program that you're not impressed by telling me something in Greek that you hear guys that barely do speak good English, try to use Greek. Just use English where everybody can understand. So a language is meant to be understood. It's for the listening audience. It's not to impress. That's what I think some be doing, trying to impress somebody that they know something that others don't know. And so they're surprised. They're bewildered in a sense. These people are saying, look here, something's going on here. We're confounded. We're bewildered. We're surprised. And every one of us can hear these men in our own language. Tongue speaking is a language. What is amazing to them is they can hear them in their language. If I went to the UN, I speak English. If Chinese were there, Japanese were there, Russians were there around the table, guess what they were? When I speak English, the Russian would hear Russian. The Chinese would hear Chinese. The Japanese will hear Japanese, and they would be amazed because I'm seeing, they know I'm speaking English. That would be a surprise to everybody. Oh, how are we hearing him? Is nobody interpreting it? We are hearing the actual language. The man is speaking in English, and we hear him in our own language. How did that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit was giving him utterance. The Holy Spirit was able to do that. The Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance. They were speaking, and the Holy Spirit was in control so that every nation could understand what the apostles were saying. This is real simple. It's not this jargon, gibberish stuff you hear. That don't mean nothing. How many of y'all understood what I just said? Nothing. You don't understand that. That's not a language. That's a bunch of jargon, jarbing up words that has no meaning. Now, you go look at this on TV, and you see them talking in tongues. Ain't nobody understanding. They got some man sitting over there saying he interpreted. That's not interpretation of that. That's just a bunch of noise. Now, in verse 7, he says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to, they start talking to each other, behold, are not all these speak Galatians, Galileans? Are not all these which speak Galileans? Be like all of us in America, we speak a language, we all speak in English, and there's a bunch of Americans there, they all speaking in English, and the Japanese, we're in Japan, and they all hearing all Americans speaking English, and they hearing them in Japanese. They would be amazed. How did that happen? Well, it can only happen when the Spirit gives them utterance. And they asked the words, how hear we every man in our own tongue? What is a tongue? What is a tongue, church? It's a language. How is it that we hear them speaking our own language? That's what you can say. Wherein we were born. Then he started listening. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They gave credit to who was doing it. Can't y'all see this? Now, I had a hard time pronouncing them names because those names are not in my normal language. That's why I like to have Brother Old or somebody else reading for me so they can mess that up and I can talk about them. But I don't have him because we're on this call. I have to read myself. Y'all get to hear our mess up word. Now, brothers and friends and visitors, this is true tongue speaking. Not the stuff we see today. That's just an act. So I said, Brother Brooks, I don't know. Now, I've had people tell me, I don't know what you, I felt something that day. Yep, you might did it. I don't know what you felt. I know there are some other spirits out there. I do know that. There's one spirit called a dumb spirit to make you foam and roll around in the mouth. It did that back in the Bible. There's some dumb spirit. Don't forget. Do not forget. Just because you feel something, that don't mean it's from God. God never told you to feel anything. But the Bible do teach us to be warned. We must be warned, y'all, that we are in a spiritual warfare. You know this. We better put on the whole armor of God. Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. I don't know what you heard. You may have heard something. You may have had this feeling, a warm feeling going all over your body. Some people get them warm feelings when they've been drinking. Yeah, it amazes me how people, when they're drinking alcohol, that's when they want to talk about God, what he did for them. Might be that Jack Daniel. I can't mess with y'all. That beer you drink or whatever. And when you start drinking, you start feeling a lot of things. That's what they think going to happen to me. And notice this. And this is just true. It's right here in your book. Right here in your book. Listen to this, verse 12. And they were all amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, what mean is this? How's this hearing these men in our language? Others mocking. Oh, man, y'all know they start making fun. They trying to make up a reason for it. Y'all, these men are full of new wine. See, right here. See, they contributed to alcohol. I mean, they feel with new wine. Now, new wine means, let me give you new wine. New wine, more exactly, is a sweet wine, a wine made by soaking raisins, pressing out of fermenting the juice. It's fermenting the juice, which was very intoxicating. It was strong. That's why they said the new wine. So most wines in Palestine have very slight intoxicating qualities. A lot of them were used for medicinal purposes, for medicine and things like that. But this new wine, it was fermented. It was intended to get you drunk. Yeah, and so here they are. So those mockers start saying, hey, look here, we know what's really going on. The boy's drunk, the boy's drunk. They're running off at the mouth. And but Peter, now Peter stands up. Here he comes. The Apostle Peter is getting ready to talk. Who is going to give him utterance? The Spirit. So Peter stands. Verse 14. He stood up. I visualize him just standing up, 11 and the 11 right by him. Can y'all see that? Peter got up when they called him men drunk. He stood up. He lifted up his voice. He raised his voice. He said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken, listen to me, my word. And what he said, who's speaking? Peter. Who he with? The apostle. What did he lift up? His voice. Who gave him utterance? The Spirit. And these are not drunken, he said. And they're hearing him in their own language right now. Y'all, all y'all hear what I'm saying, no matter where you're from, these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is the third hour of the day. What's going on, Peter? I'm going to let them know that what they're hearing here today is not related to anybody being drunk. First off, anybody with this sin, it's too early to be drunk 9 a.m. in the morning. That's what he was saying to them. Well, there might be some people still get drunk early. I know folk who are drunk early in the morning. In this case, Peter says it's too early for them to be drunk. That's just one rationale you can use. And now in verse 16. So what's going on here? Peter's going to describe to him what's happening. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So this is the beginning of the last days on the day of Pentecost. We are still living right now in the last days. The last days will be over when Jesus comes back. The prophecy indicated that all of us would be blessed, and truly we are blessed from the apostles receiving this power, because now we got all the information we need. Us and our children, everybody for us. Here's where the confusion comes. Here's where false doctrine is brought in by those who are teaching we are to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, the apostles would have power to lay hands on others. So these other people that you're talking about, they got it. But it's because the apostles laid hands on them, as we'll see in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, in verse number 18, that's what Peter laid hands. That's where we get this from. And when you start looking at laying on hands, the apostle had the ability to give something that no one else could do. Let's just look at that. Acts chapter 8. Let's go over that real quick. And if you turn to Acts chapter 8, we'll see here what happened in this case briefly. I'm going to deal with that more when I get there. So this is Simon the magician, or sorcerer. And there was a verse 9, he said, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. So this is witchcraft stuff, giving out that he himself has some great one. There's some folk being bewitched today, to whom all they gave all heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great power of God. To him they had regard, because of that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries, witchcraft, sorceries. But when they believed Philip, now they believe here come a preacher. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom, which is the church, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. See what they were doing? They were baptized. Men and women were getting baptized when they heard Philip preaching. And then the Bible says, then Simon himself believed. He believed the gospel. He believed what Philip had been preaching. And then he got baptized. So he's baptized for the remission of his sins. He stayed with Philip and wondered, beholding, noting what Philip was doing, the miracles and signs. So Simon was looking at them. He said, man, they are performing miracles and signs, And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now watch what happened. When Peter and when they were come down, pray for them that God might receive, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now watch how they get it. Now as of yet, he was falling upon none of them. None of them had it. Only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. They just got baptized. That's it. But watch what happened, verse 17. Then laid their hands on them. Who? The apostles laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. There it is right there. That's the laying on the hands. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of, notice whose hands? The apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. And he offered them money. Now, that's what they're doing today. You go to Pentecost, you see these so-called apostles laying hands. Now, this is the case where the 12 that was in the room got a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it took them, they were still alive at the time, to lay hands on these others that they could receive the Holy Ghost. And so Simon was witnessing, he looking at the laying on the hand of the apostles' hands, not the other disciples, the apostles, the Holy Spirit were given. And Simon said, man, give me this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, yeah, you may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, the money perish, you can't buy this. Money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit right here, not the one we get. The one Peter and all then was told to wait on. And thou neither hast part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Peter told him, you repent of your wickedness and pray God, and perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me. And none of these things you have spoken come upon me. And then they had testified, preach the word of the Lord, return to Ruth, and preach the gospel in many villages and Samaritans. Of the Samaritan. Now, so what am I doing right there? I'm showing you that the laying on the hands can only be done by apostles. And if there's any apostle living today, y'all know he's not. He would be over 2,000 years old. So that's that. Those apostles laid hands would be able to prophesy. People that they touch could do it. The daughters, visions, dreams, and all that was Joel talked about. All that happened once the apostles would pass that on to them. Now let's talk a little bit about what was the purpose of tongue speaking. The purpose of the miracles such as tongue speaking, prophesying, healing, raising the dead was miracles that would be needed for the unbeliever to believe that what the apostles were teaching about salvation could be proven, that it didn't come from them. What I mean by that is that it was a sign. Miracles were signs because they didn't have the written Bible like we have. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, Paul wrote this. 1 Corinthians 13:8, he said, charity, meaning love, never fail it, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. They shall cease. Y'all know what the word cease means, don't you? Cease means stop. So here he is. He's saying love gonna continue, but prophecies will fail. Tongues, they shall cease. They shall stop. They will no longer be spoken. So now, when will they stop? He said, for we, verse 13, for we know, verse 9, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 13, 9. Listen to it. For we, talking about the apostles, we know in part. They only know what the Spirit gave them utterance at the time they spoke, or where they were writing the New Testament. They can only write what the Holy Spirit gave them to write at the time they were writing. He says, we don't know everything until the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to them, to reveal them the words from God, so that they wouldn't make no mistake in the book you and I read. Now, verse number 10, listen to this. But he said, but, Paul said, we don't know everything we're going to say. We'll prophesy only what he gives, the prophesying part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, so here it is. When will this stuff stop? The tongue speaking, the prophesying, and all that. when that which is perfect comes. Somebody said, some say the Pentecost say, well, that is Christ. You know, Christ haven't come back, so we still got the same power. Now, I want y'all to think about this. Now, just think about this. At what point have you ever read of Jesus being a dad? It would be a he, not a dad. So what is the dad? That is perfect. What is the dad Paul referred to, which would be perfect? So Jesus is the only perfect one that's true. But there is something else that's perfect. And it's the dad. It's the dad. When that comes, tongue speaking would no longer be needed. I'm going to tell you what that is. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible says there, James says, whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he not being a forgiver here, but doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's something called a perfect law of liberty. And you have to hear, the law. In Psalm 19:7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the purpose of tongue speaking and miracles was to confirm what the apostles and disciples were teaching was from God. They were called signs. Now, in Mark 16:14-20. Afterward, he appeared unto Jesus unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, talking about Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we're still doing today. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's still true today. Now, verse 17. And these signs, he said, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. There it is. They call them signs. And they shall take up serpents. If they drink anything, deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so then after the Lord spoke unto them, talking about the apostles, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And verse 20, and they went forth, talking about the apostles, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, talking about the apostles, knowing what he was doing, confirming the word with signs. These signs were what we call miracles. These signs did follow the believers, but they came to an end. When the last chapter of the New Testament was written, the perfect law was completed. It had come. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. When would tongue speaking stop? When the Bible was finished. When John wrote the last words of the New Testament, there was no longer a need, because faith would no longer come by you seeing somebody get healed, or somebody drinking poison, or hearing tongues speaking. Because they only did that to prove, to confirm what these men were preaching. They had the ability to say, look what I can do. Now, you believe what I'm saying is from God? Yes or no? Yes, we do. Because that's a sign. That's a miracle. No man today, listen carefully, can cast out devils. They shall speak, they can't speak with new tongues. They're not taking up serpents, and they're not drinking deadly poison. It's amazing to me how people will believe tongue speakers, and then somebody way somewhere in some foreign country drinking poison. We don't see that. You don't see people, you don't see these Pentecostals in the United States drinking the poison. You don't see them getting in a bed of snakes, and the snakes bite them, they live. That would be all over the TV. Y'all know that. It would be all over the TV, national news, because it would be a miracle. Now, you get in there with a rattlesnake, most of us have hurt ourselves more than a snake would hurt trying to get away from it. You don't see people, you know, people not drinking poison. Ain't nobody drinking no cyanide to prove they from God. Why is it that we people just fall for anything? Just fall for anything. The tongue speaking the only thing they can fake. You can't fake drinking poison. You drink some poison, you're going to be showing up dead. Why can't people see this? They're blind. Blind. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. When the God, the little g of this world, have blinded the mind of them that believe not. You better believe, we are to believe the scriptures. And the scriptures make it clear. Brother, sister, all this happened in the first century on the day of Pentecost and when the apostles were living. None of this stuff is happening today. Let's go back and close this message this morning. Let's go back to Acts 2:18. Peter speaks still. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this happened at the beginning of the last days, when Christ was crucified, when the old law was stopping and the new one was started. See, they nailed the old law with Jesus. We were stopping a new Old Testament law. That's why we have instruments in our building. That's why we don't sacrifice goats and animals. That's why we don't worship like David did. We don't worship like Moses did. We don't worship like... There were no Christians in the Old Testament. The Christians were called Christians first in Antioch. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. They didn't take the Lord's Supper because it wasn't commanded. It wasn't commanded until Jesus started the New Testament. He said, this is the blood of the New Testament. In other words, there are laws. When you be an American citizen, you can have an old law and a new law. Like, for example, I'll give you a basic one I always use. If you're an American citizen and you have driver's license and you drive on the freeway, and we know there are times when they feel like they can increase the speed, so they change it from 55 to 75, or they get on some roads and they see too many people getting killed, they change the old law, 75, back to a new law, 55. And if you get your driver's license, you better know which law to drive. So if the sign says 55 and you driving the 75, and you can say, and the police pull you over, he said, what's wrong? I'm driving 75. You say, well, sir, it used to be 75. He said, well, don't you know the new law? It's 55. What are you doing driving if you don't know what the law is? So what are you doing with a piano and a guitar and worship? And what are you doing killing goats? Because the new law says that we sing. The new law says we drink. We remember Jesus through communion, through the Lord's Supper. So you see, Old Testament is old law. New Testament is new law. So if you want to be a citizen of heaven, a Christian, you better know the new law. And my question is, why don't you know the new law? Can't you read? That man, the police said, did you not read the sign? He said, sir, I didn't know the law had changed. Well, you should have looked at the sign, sir. You get a ticket. Because you are an American citizen, and you should know that sign means 55 means 55, sir. So you write the ticket and go pay it. Go to court. So some of us going to go to court. Many people going to go to court, God's court. And he's going to say, you didn't read? You didn't read about baptism for the remission of your sin? You didn't read about my son's church, the Church of Christ? You didn't read about remembering my son every Sunday? It was in the law. You should have read the law, sir. If you want to be a heaven citizen, you should have read the law. So you get a penalty. You get a ticket. I was teaching this same way on older lady. We were doing a big outdoor event in Hollow Heights. And I never will forget that. We was advertising on the radio. And as people came, Brother Brooks, this lady, she just got off the bus. She come to meet you. She heard about you. She's been listening to you on the radio. And this older lady, she's in her 80s. And she came. And they said, I said, well, I'll go meet her. So she's just getting off the bus. And she came and met me and said, I've been wanting to meet you, Brother Brooks. I just love your preaching. She's been listening to me on the radio. And so she came to be with us that day. We was advertising an outdoor event. We was preaching outside. And I said, yes, ma'am. And so I said, well, can I share some things with you? Yeah. And so we had a class, and I taught her, and I was teaching everybody about the difference between the old law and the new law, why the church, the difference between the Baptist church and the Church of Christ, the reason they have instruments of music, why we don't have instruments, because we follow the new law, and they don't recognize that the new law is the New Testament, so they take some stuff out of the old law, they call it preacher reverend, still, and the Bible says holy reverend is God's name, Psalm 111, verse 9. They go over there and get the instrumental music. They leave the goat. They pick and choose what they want out of the Old Testament. They don't want stoning. They don't go get the stoning now. They want to remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, but they don't want the stoning. See, but if you under the old law, if you sin on the seventh day, which would be Saturday, like washing your car, you deserve to be stoned. How many of y'all want the old law now? How much did you do yesterday on the seventh day? You don't do nothing on the seventh. Under the Old Testament law, you had to rest on the seventh day. How many of y'all did some work yesterday? Well, you would have been stoned if you was under the Old Testament. Anyway, I was teaching her the difference between the old and the new. And I said, any of y'all trying to live under that Old Testament law, still worshiping with instruments, still not doing what God told you to do in the New Testament, you're going to get a ticket. And so at the end, I gave an invitation for everybody to come down who wanted to be baptized. So I looked up, here come this old lady. She was an old lady on a walk. She coming down. I said, oh, Lord. Because, you know, I was taught to respect older people. So I really respect. I try to speak the truth in love. I told her in love about that. And she finally got up to him. I just knew she was going to let me have it. Because she was, her whole life was at the Baptist church. She said, Brother Brooks. I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She said, can you baptize me? I said, ma'am. She said, yes. She said, Brother, can you baptize me? I said, yes, I can baptize you. She said, you know what? She said, because I don't want no ticket. She didn't want no ticket. She got it. She wasn't no crank. She understood exactly what I meant, that there was a New Testament. There was a new law. And she wanted to get baptized under that new law. And she understood she would stand before the judge in court on the great day of judgment, and the good judge would give her a ticket. She understood that. I put it where she could understand it. And you know, two years later, that lady died. She didn't die in the scene, though. She had obeyed the truth. She obeyed the truth. You don't get too old. Some of you senior citizens on the call, you ain't too old to obey. You better get baptized. You better be under that new law before you die. Don't worry about dying. That don't happen. You ain't got to read the Bible and believe that one. You already know it's coming. Just look at your joints, your marrow, your joints, pain in your body. Hair color changing. All that is indicating that we're going back to the grave. Going back to the dust. We all of us on our way. Yeah, we all got signs. Them eyes start going bad. The ears are going bad. Your teeth are wearing out. All that is signs. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Yeah. You're headed to your long home. 70, 60, 70, 80. If by reason of score. For school. If by reason. The body ain't designed to make 100 plus years, y'all. Very few people make it past 70 and 80. This lady was 80. She obeyed the gospel, though. She had good use of her mind. And that's what I'm saying to y'all on the call today. You better know the difference between old law and new law. You better know how to drive the speed limit. Or put them license up. You don't need them in America. If you ain't going to follow the law, just get ready for your ticket. There's some folk got ticket on the day of judgment. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, and these people were believers. They believed in Jesus as their Lord. Jesus said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Y'all reading this with me? Go over there with me. Matthew 7:21. Especially those of you who are on the call, not members of church, God, I want to show you something here. I want y'all to show you. I'm going to slow this down and close this right here. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. And notice who he's talking about. He's talking about believers. You know, people who are Muslims don't believe in Jesus as their Lord. They don't call him as Lord. You go to a Buddhist worship. They don't call Jesus their Lord. It's not Buddhism, Hinduism, or Muslims. This is people who thought they were Christians. They thought Jesus was their Lord. Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he didn't do it the will of my Father. Notice what he said. Many were saying to me that day, it's that day of judgment. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out devils? and in your name done many wonderful works. These people were doing good works in the name of Jesus, but on the day of judgment, Jesus said this in verse 23, look at this, go read it yourself. They did many wonderful works. What's a wonderful work? Going to visit the sick, feeding the hungry, going to foreign countries where people are starving. They did all these wonderful works. He said, but Jesus said, I'm going to profess unto these believers that I never knew you. Why? Here it is right here. He said, depart from me. Ye are workers of iniquity. There it is right there. The problem was, they were workers of iniquity, lawlessness. They made up their own law. See, when you just do what you want to do, you say, well, I just believe God, know my heart, he going to accept me as I can just accept him as my personal savior. That's like saying to the judge when you go to court, well, I just feel in my heart 75 was the right number. Well, he's going to say, well, you should have read it, man. Can't go feeling for the sign. You got to read it. So you can't go feel your way to heaven. Read the law, the New Testament. Read the Bible and find out what God told you to do. Jesus was the Son of God. This was a great day, y'all. This was a great day. This day was that day that Matthew writes about it, Matthew chapter 27:45. And he said, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land. Miracle. 3 hours of light and 3 hours of darkness. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the beginning of the last day when Christ was crucified. When the old law was stopping, the new law was starting, and things started to happen. Watch what happens here in Matthew 27:47. Some of them stood there when they heard that Jesus that said, this man called for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and graves were opened. Look at all the miracles. And many bodies of saints, only the saints, which slept arose. Dead people got up. And there came out of the grave after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared. He went into the holy city and appeared. And came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So people seen these people came up from the grave. They knew some miracles was taking place that day. Now when the centurion and they which were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly and said, truly, this was the Son of God. What made them to believe that he was the Son of God that day? All the miracles that took place that day. Yes, this was a great day. It was the day the Son of God died and gave all of us a chance to call upon his name. How you call upon his name? Do what's he has authorized you to do. What we must do, what God has authorized. Just like if a police pull you over, he says, stop in the name of the law. He's authorized to pull you over and give you a ticket. And we are to be obedient to the law. So in the case with being saved, the law of God that we must know today is found in the New Testament. And it's what Jesus told us to do to be saved. After he hung on that cross, after they beat him with a whip, after he suffered and shed his blood on the cross, it was him, after they took him down off that cross, after he was brutally beaten and spit upon and mocked, God's only son killed on the cross, murdered, executed for all of us. God allowed it. Allowed him to be led as a sheep to a slaughter. For it sure is dumb. He didn't open his mouth. He knew he had to go. He had to do his Father's will, and that was for him to die to save our souls. And then when they took him down off the cross, they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he got up on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and he gave this command found in Mark 16:15 to his apostles. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This death, burial, and resurrection story of Jesus must be taught to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you believe, then you will be baptized. If you believe, you'll be a member of the Church of Christ. If you believe, you'll be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. If you believe, you'll be in worship without instruments. That's if you believe the New Testament. If you believe right now that Jesus hung on that cross, you believe it because of the New Testament. You believe in Jesus because of the Bible. So if you believe in Jesus because of the Bible, then just do what the Bible says if you want your soul saved. Or if you don't want your soul saved, don't do what the Bible says. You'll be just like these folk in Matthew 7:23. Jesus said, I never knew you because you made up your own law and you didn't do what we told you to do. So if you're on the call today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. I've been talking directly to you intentionally. I talk directly to our visitors. If you're listening, I believe people, there comes a time, like the lady in Portland, Oregon, I taught her the other night. It was a time in her life when she was ready to hear the truth. She had been baptized twice, but she had never heard the teaching that I was teaching her. And when I finished, she was in tears and said, finally, I have found the truth. Why? She'd been looking for the truth. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers, notice this now, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Watch this. Now here it is. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. See, God seeks you when you want to be a true worshiper, not until. And the people who want to worship like they want to worship God like they want to worship God. You want to go to church when you want to go to church. You want to take the Lord's Supper when you want to take the Lord's Supper. You want to decide to pray a sinner's prayer versus being baptized. You just do whatever you want to do. God don't seek you. He don't seek you. He seeks those who are seeking to be true worshipers. And if you're on the call today and you've been listening to Brother Brooks and you keep coming back for more, that means you're seeking. My question is, what are you waiting on to obey? Because it ain't going to change. It's going to always say one church. It's going to say Church of Christ. It's going to say baptism for remission of sin. It's going to say take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They took a collection on the first day of the week. So my question is, how much truth do you need before you believe? Because you don't believe. Because if you believe you was in a burning house, you get out that day. You don't stay in a house you believe you're burning in. If a person believes they lost, they're going to give somebody then, like that lady in Portland. She wanted to get out of it that night. If you want to call this morning, you want to get out of sin, you better be baptized in water for remission of your sin. You should obey the truth of the New Testament. You should know this New Testament law. And it ain't no miracles. Nobody going to prove. Ain't nobody going to stand over your bed and lay their hands and heal you. None of that's going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Because those are nothing but lies. What you got to do? Hear the word. Romans 10:17. What specifically must I hear when I hear the word? You got to hear the word of the gospel. You got Acts 15:7. Peter said, Peter stood up. Peter said in Acts 15:7, he told them, Peter stood up and said to brothers, you know, y'all know that a long time ago. That's what he said. You know, brother, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us. He's talking to the Jews, that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. There it is. What specifically in the word must we hear? The gospel. What is the gospel? The story of God's child dying on the cross, and that would prick the hearts of men. The cross must be preached. Without the preaching of the cross, the word of God has no effect. But the preaching of the cross is for them that are saved, to them that are perishing foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. What's the power of God? The preaching of the cross. When you preach the word, you must preach the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. When people believe that Jesus hung on the cross, it'll draw them to him. They're going to say, men and brothers, what must we do? I'm going to do the same thing Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sins. So you're going to call the name. You need to be baptized for remission of your sins, and then the Lord will wash your sins away with the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5, that when you step in the water, you're going to step in there believing Christ is in there, believing the blood is in the water. You ain't going to see no blood. You didn't see no Jesus. You didn't see no Jesus on the cross. So everything you believe came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you step in the water, Revelation 1:5, you're going to find out that the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. Ananias told Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. See, that calling on the name of the Lord comes after baptism, not before. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb in baptism. So you hear it, number one. You believe it? Do you believe it? You believe it's 55? Do you believe the law? Or you like that old lady? Then repent, like she did that day. She said, I want to get baptized, Brother Brooks. I said, yes, ma'am, we baptized her. You know she didn't have a couple years to live. I'm so thankful she came down the aisle. Will you come down the aisle this morning and be baptized for the remission of sins? You got to repent. You got to say, bro, I've been wrong all these years, Brother Brooks. Yes, you have. But you're not by yourself. Many of us have been wrong for years. There come a time when wrong is not good enough no more. I'm going to do it the way God said do it. And you do that, you'll make a confession. Number four, you'll make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8 and verse 37, the man did it there. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that, you got to be baptized for the forgiveness, for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 verse 38. And then once you are baptized for the remission of sin, you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that comes with the Holy Spirit is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is not the Holy Spirit, but eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. You cannot have eternal life without obedience to the Spirit, which gave them utterance, which we have in the New Testament. The Spirit gave us what we are told to do to be saved. He used the apostles to write it. So if you want to be saved, you better do what the Spirit said. Paul said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one church. Who told Paul to write that? The Spirit said, I'm going to give you instructions what to do to be in the one church. So you got about one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Are y'all baptized? There the Spirit said, the Spirit say, be baptized in one church. That's the church of Christ. Who gave us that information? The Spirit. Who gave them utterance? The Spirit. What do we have today? The Bible. Where it come from? The Spirit. The Spirit gave them utterance. So what I'm reading to you, it's what you can read, and whatever you read comes from the Spirit. And ain't no change. Ain't no change for you. You're going to have to change before you hit that graveyard. But you're on your way to the graveyard. You know that, don't you? You got a box day. Every good day you'll be put in a box. But just say, it's too late at that point. You better do what the Spirit said. The Spirit gave them utterance. And that same utterance reread. And that's my message today. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you have left the Lord. Don't forget this. There's no such thing as once you're saved, you're always saved. Galatians 6, 1, Paul said, the brother who is overtaken in a fault, you restore such a one. If you can't fall, you don't never need to be restored. But you're overtaken in a fault of gambling or cheating or stealing or lying or missing worship or not coming to worship, if you at fault for not giving right like you're supposed to, you are at fault, my friend. My sister, my brother, and you need to do what John said. He said, you confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and following verses, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us. So Church of Christ folks have to make confessions. We have to confess our faults. We don't need to know what you did, but you got to make a confession. You got to say, I've sinned, brother and sister. I want to come home. And then he said, affect your firm and righteous man for availing much. So when you make your confession, we pray for you. That's how you're restored. So if somebody's prodigal this morning, we're getting ready to sing the song, Prodigal Son. I've sinned against you, Lord. I admit that I've done wrong. But just like the prodigal son, I'm on my way back home, down on my bending knees, begging you to save this soul of mine. Please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. That's what members of the Church of Christ. For those who are not members of the Church of Christ, all you can do is say, I want to get baptized. If you say that, we will baptize you today. No matter where you are listening, we'll make sure we get you to a Church of Christ building and get you baptized. But you got to be willing to stand in front of people now. You got to be willing to say, I believe in Jesus Christ and the Son of God. Why you say that, brother? Because Jesus said in the law, he that confessed me before men, I'll confess him before my Father. He that deny me, I'm going to deny him. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Don't do that. If you're on the call today, hit 5-star on your phone. We're getting ready to hit the song of invitation right now. We'll take your request. Hit 5-star, and we'll honor your request.
Well, I sinned against you, Lord, and I admit that I've done wrong. I'm just like the prodigal son, and I'm on my way back home. And I'm down on bending knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. I said I sinned against you, Lord. I admit that I've done wrong. And I'm just like the prodigal son, and I'm on my way back home. And I'm down on bending knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time.